So the message for this afternoon, it has a lot to do with the portion, in particular the Brichat Hashah, the new covenant portion. The title is Bullish on Boasting. And it is, Paul spends some time on it, and people get confused sometimes by it. And so I pray that through the Holy Spirit, we bring some connection to it and understanding what's going on and you know, how we can be appropriate before one another, and we can be appropriate before the Lord. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, King, Lord, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, Lord, would only be of you. Lord, whatever is of the flesh would be struck, whatever I've missed by your Spirit would be brought forth in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. So, we've really already, the first question I kind of asked was, you know, is there boasting in the Bible? And the answer is, of course there's boasting in the Bible. And there's good boasting and there's bad boasting. Sometimes it's hard to know the difference, maybe. But ultimately, all of it is bad and sinful unless we're boasting in the Lord. Paul is boasting about what God has done with him and doing with him, through him, and for him. And he's boasting about God. He's not elevating himself. He elevates what God has given him, what God has trained him with, what the commission that God's put him on. So in that way, we can boast in the Lord, right? But boasting in natural process of the flesh and of the will is mostly sin. Whenever we take credit for ourselves and what we've done, we've cut out the Creator. And many of us have, over our lifetimes, we've probably boasted in certain things, and some of us may still find ourselves boasting about things that we did. And that's the boasting that can lead to pride, right? That I want to pay attention to me. I did this. I did that. Anything we're doing that doesn't draw attention to the Lord our God is not the healthy kind of boasting. And lots of times we can hear it. We hear it in the world a lot, especially in the corporate world and in business, that, you know, what am I doing? Because a lot of times it's motivated by the better I do, the more I get paid, the more promotions I get. But as believers, we should be learning that that's not appropriate, that we boast in the Lord so that we can share how the Lord has built us up, and that we can build people up through boasting about God and the things of God that He may be doing in us. One of the great challenges about boasting in the natural, in the flesh, is that it most often ends up demeaning others. It's elevating yourself above others for some kind of accomplishment that you've perceived. That may not be intentional, but a lot of times that's what happens. It's trying to steer, you know, a conversation or a process to ourselves. And the only time we should be steering people to ourselves is when we are glorifying God and when we are sharing what God has done in us. We can boast in that. Usually boasting in the flesh will lead to other problems. People being resentful. People feeling that they've been used. As Paul mentions on numerous occasions, that as believers, and particularly in any kind of leadership role, we're supposed to be building people up, not tearing them down. It's a difficult thing to do sometimes, or at least the perception of people that hear what they perceive as negative things think they're being torn down when they're actually being corrected. That is a problem. Tough love is tough. It's just that. It can be hard. The truth can be hard. It hurts. It's supposed to cut to the quick. It is supposed to. And then people will say, well, you know, that's not godly, yet it is. It depends. What is it? What's going on? It says in 1 John chapter 2, for everything in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the boasting of life is not from the Father, but from the world. It's a hard thing to manage sometimes. I've come to believe that whenever we're boasting about our personal, what we might perceive as personal successes, that the way to kind of to corral that is to give glory to God for the abilities that He's given us to pursue a profession or a career. Now, I didn't do that in my younger life. I only did that a while after I'd come to know the Lord to realize that there's a difference. I can say less of me and more in Him, and if you think I'm good at something, it's because of God. It's hard because we get sucked into the world all the time. You find yourself, you know, especially, you know, in the, when we're talking about particularly academics, that many people view your success or your failures based on what your academic career is, whether it's for a profession or just for study. You're better if you have a PhD than if you just have a master's. You know, it's that kind of thing. And that's what happens when we don't give it to the Lord. If I was able to save my employer millions of dollars so he could make more money, I need to give the glory to God for that ability, the insight that He gave me, the negotiation skills that He gave me, because He was blessing me because I was putting Him forth. But to take the credit myself, I did this or I did that, what I've tried to come away with over many years is, this is what the Lord did for me. This is how the Lord showed me. This is how the Lord led me in these things. It says in James chapter 3, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire. Most of us know that already, but it's a fire in many different ways. It's a fire. The tongue is a world of evil placed among our body parts. Well, that sure doesn't seem to give it high esteem, does it? Because the Lord's given us control over our tongues, and if we don't control our tongues, the tongue is the whipping boy of everybody. It's the boasting part. It's the tearing people down. It's the domination, you know, of people. The tongue was created to do good things, worship God, praise God, right? Sing awesome music, to love one another, be kind. But lots of times the tongue gets used for other things. That's why they call it a tongue lashing, right? The tongue has power. Even people that think they have no power or influence, the tongue is powerful. I've abused, I'm sure, and my children, that with my tongue I abuse them, just as my parents abused me, particularly my dad. He was the tongue guy. My mom was the quiet one. She beat me with a ruler. And I'd laugh, and that infuriated her. Anyway, not to digress. We all have had struggles with the tongue, right? I mean, it is a learning process, for one. And so even if you think you have no power, you can have power in the tongue. And usually the power is to hurt yourself and hurt others. It pollutes the whole body and sets on fire the course of life and is set on fire by Gehenna, by hell. So the devil has influence over our tongues. He has influence in the sense that if we give him influence and authority, he works it. In some ways, for me, my tongue is my biggest asset. It's also my biggest downfall. Maybe sometimes from the simplest things that I talk too much, just ask Rangina, or that I've hurt somebody. When we stray from glorifying our Messiah, Yeshua, and when we're focusing on ourselves, destruction takes place in the body. When we are more focused on ourselves, destruction takes place in the body. It's inevitable. We're all supposed to be parts of a body that work as a fine-oiled machine, and if something is out of whack, the whole body's out of whack. So destruction can take place and does take place in the body when we are not boasting about our Lord or how he uses us for his and in his purposes. And because of that, we always end up in deep trouble. And for me, deep trouble, a lot of that tends to be in how it limits relationships. Right? One of the things that I cherish the most, that I probably beat up the most because I'm weak and still working at it, is that it hurts relationships. Even when you don't intend to. Or even if when somebody's misunderstood something. I constantly try to remind myself, how would Yeshua say it? If I said something, how will Yeshua receive it? I don't always do that. You know, silence is golden. Sometimes it's better just not to say anything about anything. If it can't be lovingly and filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's better not to say anything. I'm not particularly good at that. From Psalm 75, I say to the arrogant, no more boasting. And to the wicked, do not be lifting up your horn. It's uncomfortable to think of ourselves as being arrogant when we're boasting about ourselves. Look, I think there's nothing wrong with celebrating people that graduate high school, graduate college, you know, professional degrees. I think there's nothing wrong in celebrating that. As long as we stay centered, you know, how do they accomplish it, right? Because it does take a lot of effort to do those things. You don't become a doctor or a nurse by doing nothing. The question is, where is the glory? No boasting except boasting in God. The things that Paul boasted about were the things that God had put in him, that he was working for God, and boasting about those that worked with Paul, he was boasting because of the things they were doing for the Lord. And so this scripture actually puts us in a challenging place, because it says, and to the wicked, do not lift up your own horn. So if we're boasting, are we wicked? That's uncomfortable. In 2 Corinthians, Rav Shaul deals significantly, obviously, on boasting. And from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 12, for our reason for boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we behaved in this world and most especially toward you with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by human wisdom, but by the grace of God. Well, of course, that scripture, I could have probably just read that scripture and moved on because that's what I've been talking about for the last 10 minutes, was that Paul clearly, right, he's saying the reason we're boasting, for our reason for boasting is this, I'm boasting about God. I'm boasting about this my servanthood that God has called me to. I'm boasting about those that work with me in the field, those that I'm sending to you, those that you've seen. But with simplicity and godly sincerity. Not by that human wisdom, but by the grace of God. Paul had a lot of human wisdom, didn't he? He studied with the rabbis for many years. He was professionally trained in the theology of the day. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But it isn't the human, the natural wisdom that he boasts about, though that probably served him very well. It did serve him well. But he boasts about what God was putting in him through those things. We can do the same thing. Paul was learning many things from the Lord and from his experiences, and he was sharing them in his travels as he was setting up, you know, ministries and sharing the gospel. He's sharing his experiences. He's sharing what God has presented. He's obviously sharing also what he knows about God through the Word from many years of study. But through the eyes of Yeshua. Paul was not teaching as he did before he met Yeshua on the road to Damascus. Same but different. So maybe we should try and decipher what Paul is talking about a little bit more, right? It's not about ego. It's about accomplishments, but those in Messiah, the accomplishments of those in Messiah. Can we boast about being a doctor or a nurse or an Indian chief in the things that we've accomplished? Yes, through God. Make sure we're not in the forefront, look at me, look at me, look at me. What it should be saying when we are boasting is, look at him. Look at him. And look at him and see the vessel that he has chosen me to be. And these things that I do are to his glory. As Paul was, some of the things that Paul alluded to is, and there's a, you know, the saying out there, be loud and be proud. Paul's being loud and proud about Messiah and his work in the Messiah. Paul was loud and proud. He's not really apologetic for being taken the wrong way by many. Paul was also dealing with people listening to falsehoods, listening to false prophets and false emissaries and false teachings. I'm sure in the flesh, Paul was frustrated that he's pouring his life into this and the truth, and some yoko comes along and he influences the people that he's been working with for years. I know it's frustrating. It can be frustrating for me that somebody can be under your discipleship for many years and then they keep stabbing you with these bogus questions off the internet. Sometimes in the flesh, it's a, you know, weakness. You go like, really? You're not willing to listen to what I've been teaching consistently and you can test it, but you'll let your ears be tickled for something from somebody you know absolutely nothing about. It's that kind of, the grass is always greener on the other side, right? You always think it's better somewhere else from someone else. So, just be say these things in a slightly different way. There's two kinds of boasting. There is self-glorification, which is bad, and then there's glory to God, which is good. That breaks it down a little simpler. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just as you understood us in part, so that we are your reason for boasting, just as you also are ours in the day of our Lord Yeshua. So Paul is talking about boasting in the works of Messiah in people's lives. His, yours, others. See, one of the things I think we have a hard, that's difficult, it was then too, but I don't think it's ever changed. When we don't live in a universe, when we don't live in a culture, when we don't live in a mindset that is sold out totally for God, the world affects everything. I can't just be sold out for God. You don't understand. I do all these other things. I have to take credit for some of these things. I'm in the lion's den, and I look at how I've accomplished and how I beat the lion. Right after that statement, the lion is going to eat you in the next visit. But culturally, it's difficult because most people, most believers, though they like to say they are, the reality is we're not 100% sold out for God. We don't eat Him. We don't sleep Him. We don't study Him. We don't, whatever. You know, Rabbi Eduardo made a comment that, you know, we've been getting, 200-300 visits for a service, which is awesome. Yet when it comes to the Bible studies and stuff, and we're all social distancing and we want to be together, only 15 or 20 people show up for the Bible studies. I'm not saying everybody has to be on them all the time. The point being is, how sold out are you for God? So this isn't a criticism. It's just an exhortation of where are you at? How many chances in our lifetime, and I can only think of one other because I had a serious issue with my leg and I was in traction for 6 weeks in bed. In our lifetimes, what opportunities do most of us get to just be at home and have lots of time to focus on God? Most of us are out there working, busy bees, doing whatever. And the opportunity to press in, and I know people will say, well, you don't understand. I'm homeschooling. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I get all those things. But still, what is it we're doing that helps edify us and grow in these opportunities to have more time with the Lord? And to fellowship more. For me, I take great joy in people coming on and seeing faces and just having camaraderie. Bible studies and such, they're not study halls. They're engaging and can have light moments as well as heavy moments. Possibly, and I do believe in part that this pandemic is an opportunity for many of us to seek a deeper relationship with God for several different reasons. One of them is time. How are you using your time? Paul's always boasting about what he's doing in the Lord and what the Lord is doing in others that he works with. And see, when you boast that way, it becomes contagious. It can be contagious when we boast about the Lord. For one, we don't have to have one-upmanship. If we're boasting about the glory of God, how can you have one-upmanship? I guess you could say, well, the Lord's using me more than you. Well, if you're going to go down that rabbit trail, I hope you recognize it before you get too deep into the hole and the Lord fills it in. So it's contagious. It can be a good contagious. It can be a bad contagious. We can boast in one another, right? We can boast in one another when it's focused on the Lord. Your ministry, your talent in singing or playing an instrument in the worship team is an awesome testimony, and we can boast in the talent that God has given you and your willingness to share that talent. Or boasting about the hospitality. Those are so giving in hospitality, looking out for the needs of others, whether it's water or coffee, cleaning up, or all those things. We can boast in one another how look at our servants, and we should uplift our servants. We should acknowledge them in the glory of God, who Messiah is. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. If we are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity for boasting about us, so that we may have something to answer to those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. Wow, that's a challenging scripture. What Paul's saying is we should be boasting about each other and how God is ministering to us and ministering to others through us, that there should be an acknowledgement that God is at work in the lives of our brothers and our sisters. Because that'll encourage them. How many people I know that I know have a good relationship with the Lord, but don't think they have a good relationship with the Lord? Usually because they're so beat up outside of the community, or even beat up in the community, and that they're not recognized. Look, I don't think we go around raising people up to their own self-glory, but we should always be thanking and commending people that have servant hearts and that are selfless. There's nothing wrong with that, because it's God doing it in them, hopefully. Usually you can tell when somebody is not, you know, the Lord's working in them and they have an awesome ministry, they don't bring it up at all, right? It takes us to boast about somebody else, to say, I recognize that ministry, and they'll go, oh, you know, it's nothing. And look, it's good to have humility, but it's also good to accept the acknowledgement that your life is vested in God and it's showing through you. We shouldn't take people for granted. It's easy to do unintentionally. I like to not take people for granted, the things they do, the little things, bigger things, whatever. When we take people for granted and their ministries and stuff, then somehow the love has been diminished. We want to love one another. We don't want to earn brownie points. We want to love one another. There's a difference. Well, if you give me a compliment, you know, next week I'm going to make up and I'm going to get even with you and I'm going to give you a compliment. That's not what I'm talking about. So that you may have something to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. False compliments, bad. A compliment that isn't heartfelt, it's not sincere, it's not of God, it can be manipulative, it can be condescending. I hope that the contrast, right, can be apparent to us, right? It's not about what we have done or are doing, right? It's not about what we've done or what we're doing. It's about what Yeshua is doing in us and with us and for us and with one another. Everybody get that? It's not about what we have done or what we were doing. It's about what Yeshua is doing in us, with us, for us, and in others. That's what it's about. The Lord is bullish on His glory and the creation glorifying Him. The Lord gets the boast. He's God. He did create everything. That's no small thing. In fact, it's the big thing. The Lord is bullish on His glory. He is a jealous God. He commands and demands to be glorified, that His creation will love Him, that we'll be good representatives of Him in thick and in thin. Paul is not going around saying how great he is. Yet when he's needing to make a point, right, he makes points sometimes, such as in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. These are verses, there's a lot of verses here. I'm going to read them, but because Paul here in these verses, he makes a summary, a bit of a summary of the challenges that he's lived since becoming a believer and laying down the old, right? And it sounds like he's boasting, but he is boasting in the sense that he's making a point of how awesome God is to get him through all these things and still come out on the end with joy. So I kind of summarized a bit of this here. In humility, right? Paul's giving this really in humility, although he is boasting about what the Lord has done for him, which reveals the love of God for him. And it also reveals the glory of God in him. So he lets the faithful, who are obviously not all there, not all in, he's going to give the faithful, semi-faithful, whatever it may be, he's going to give them both barrels, right? He says, I don't want to hear about what you're boasting. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me, right? Yet whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I speak in foolishness. I dare to. Are they Hebrews? Well, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they the servants of the Messiah? I am more so. I speak like I'm out of my mind. Why does he say that? Because we're talking about the coming kingdom and all this persecution, and it sounds like he's out of his mind. This Paul must be a nut. He's got all this stuff going on, yet he's glorifying God. So he's saying, right? So I speak like I'm out of my mind. In labors much more, in prisons and much more, in beatings more brutal, near death often. Whatever they're boasting about and all these things, Paul's saying, I'm trumping you because of the glory of God, I'm trumping you. It's nothing I did. I didn't save myself. I didn't do these things. God did these in me. Verse 24, five times from the Jewish leaders I received 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And he doesn't mean smoking either, okay? Three times I suffered a shipwreck. A night and a day I spent in the open sea. That's probably a good thing. I believe it was in the Mediterranean area. The Mediterranean is a very warm body of water. If that had been in the Atlantic, he'd have been dead. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I spent in the open sea. In my many journeys, I've been in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, danger in the city, dangers in the desert, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brothers, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It sounds like Paul's not boasting about himself. He's boasting in the Lord, how the Lord has held him up. I pick up in verse 27, in labor and hardships, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. How about during a pandemic? Besides these other things, there is daily pressure of me of concern, on me of concern. So this is so crazy. He goes, he lists all these outrageous things, right? Which to many are outrageous and seem quite boastful. He says, but besides these other things, I have daily issues that God glorifies himself through me, through my faith and how he operates in me daily. My guess is most of Paul's life, he got up every day figuring that God would be glorified and he might have some trouble. Most of us, I'm not getting out of bed. You know what? I'm skipping today. I might even skip this week. Besides these other things, there is daily pressure on me of concern for all of Messiah's communities. So he's not even boasting, he's talking about the service he has to God, that the concerns that he has and the things that he's focused on is the community and the communities that he's overseeing, that he's ministering to. So one could say that God has miraculously provided and given safe haven even in his struggles for Paul so he can continue to do the work of ministry to glorify God, not himself. But you don't know what I've been through, Rabbi. I got this surgery. You know, my kids are this and that. We all have those things. To the glory of God. Who is weak? And am I not weak, he says? Who is led into sin? And I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast of my weakness so that God is glorified. I added, so God is glorified, but that's what he say. I boast in my weakness and my challenges so that God may be glorified. So who can top this list of Paul's? You know, it's not about a competition. You know, somebody, well, Moses. It's not a competition. It's not about that at all. The only appropriate boasting is in Messiah. Anything else has the potential to be ego or self. I think we can take pride in an accomplishment or accomplishments. Just, I finished my master's degree, and I thank, give God the glory because without him, I couldn't have done it. And yes, I'm thankful that I got through it, but without him, and it's to his glory that I went back to school at all. I said this before. When I got out of college, my bachelor's degree, I swore I'd never read another book. I would never go to another school. Well, it did take about 40 years for that to happen. So I guess that's a long time, but I mellowed over my staunch stand. And I did it to glorify God. I really did. I did it to glorify God also at his prodding because he had stuff he wanted me to know. And so I give him the glory and I thank him that he gave me the patience and the willingness to go through it. We can share about what God is doing in us, for then the glory is his. But when we get off topic, we usually end up looking to take his glory. We don't want to be the focus of God on the bottom, like, oh, God did this for me, but let me tell you about what I did. God should be on the top, not on the bottom. Earlier in chapter 11, Paul Rav Shaul shares what can happen when we boast in anyone other than the Messiah. I wish that you would put up with a little foolishness from me, but indeed you are putting up with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband to present you to Messiah as a pure virgin. But I'm afraid that somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds might be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion and purity of the Messiah. Paul's worried. When we get off Messiah being the focus, we can end up getting off topic. We can end up being off kilter. We can be influenced by other things, other teachings, other philosophies, whatever. For if someone comes and proclaims another Yeshua whom we did not proclaim, right? So he's talking about that he's fearful that some have been influenced by the false prophets and the false and false emissaries. Or if you receive a different spirit that you did not receive, or a different good news than you did not accept, you put up with that well enough. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 4. So, there's a tendency in the flesh that we can be distracted from the truth when the flesh thinks it can be self-serving. Contrary to Scripture. Paul continues to share not matter what he will boast of the Lord. Even if it looks like he is a fool, he is sold out for Yeshua. So Paul he's very clever, and from a godly perspective, that he knows how to talk differently to different people or say it a different way so that they may catch the truth or catch the error. But he's always doing it in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12:1, I must go on boasting, though it does no good. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. So what does he mean by that? I must go on boasting, though it does no good. Well, he's talking about those not hearing. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and you get dejected, they're not getting it, and then you just give up? Say, what's the point? And Paul says, no, even if nobody listens, I'm going to go on with glorifying God, and in that I may look like a fool to those that don't hear. That happens a lot more than you would think. When we're teaching and ministering truth and people reject it, it doesn't stop me or Rabbi Eduardo or Dan from preaching the truth to the best of our ability. It doesn't stop us. People could get dejected. And that's not just about the word, but it could be true of lots of things where we know something's true, but people have made up their mind that it's not true and they've decided on something else. And you go, oh, well, what's the point? I'm just going to give up on this. No, if it's of God, don't give up on it. Even if you may look like a fool in the natural, but to God, you don't look like a fool. Paul is bullish I'm boasting. He's putting himself out there no matter what he may suffer. He is always looking to pronounce the truth of the kingdom of God, reducing himself, allowing himself to be considered even a fool. He shares with us that the Lord has helped him out in this, right? Giving him a constant reminder of who gets the glory, God getting the glory, right? And he, in a very human way. And he does that by sharing this thorn in his side. God gets the glory. I got a thorn. The Lord says, I gave you the thorn to keep you humble. All the glory to God. In the natural mind, in the fleshly mind, that just seems, I don't want to do that. Why would I do that? Lord, I'm doing a good job for you. Why are you beating me up here? For if I should want to boast, I would not be foolish, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain so that no one may think more of me than what he sees in me or hears from me, which means he wants them to see God. Even in the extraordinary quality of the revelations, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. And Paul identifies it as a messenger of Satan to torment me so I would not exalt myself. Even Paul, greatest of the New Covenant apostles, needs a little bit of reminder. See, this, to me, it parallels when Jacob wrestles with God, right? Changes his name to Israel, and he has a limp, right? His whole life, right? To his friends, he was known as Festus. Yeah, well, I thought that would go over better, but apparently most people don't even know what gun smoke is anymore, right? Oh, well, it's still funny to me. I get one thumbs up, right? All right, I'll take it. I'll take it. But even the best of us, that we have to have sometimes a reminder of our to be humble before God, that God allows for this thorn to actually be a benefit to Paul. Seems weird, doesn't it? That he allows for this torment, this thorn in his side to actually be a benefit to Paul because it's going to help keep him humble. You're such a good God. I pleaded with the Lord, Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord three times about this, that it might go. That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Paul pleaded. He says, you know, I prefer not to have this, but he's willing. If you think you might have a thorn in your side, thank God for it. I know that goes against the very nature of our flesh. And you got a thorn, and it keeps you humble. Thank God for it. It was a thorn for his own good, and we all need reminders. Humbling leads to power in the Messiah. That's why it's good. Humility leads to power in the Messiah. Bullish boasting is for him alone. Humility leads to power in the Messiah, but the bullish on boasting, that belongs to God. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, talking to Paul about this thorn, for power is made perfect in weakness. See, that goes against the whole nature of the world. Power doesn't come from weakness. Power comes from strength. All world governments that are authoritarian governments, they say they have power because they take the power. They don't serve their people. They torment their people. They steal and kill. My grace is sufficient for you. And for us, that's the answer to us. God's grace needs to be sufficient for us, and we are made perfect in our weaknesses. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. The weaker we are, the more we should be able to boast in God that is in us and sustains us. We have a hard time with that. For Messiah's sake, then, I delight in weakness. In weaknesses, not just weakness. In weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. With everything else Paul has told us, or we know about him, he asked for more. Please, sir, some more. That goes against the natural order of the flesh. More of what he's saying is more of you, Lord, less of me. I know that I can handle whatever you give me. When we think we're strong in ourselves, we usually do not turn ourselves over to the Lord. When people think they are strong, powerful, wealthy, influential, they generally do not turn themselves over to the Lord. Why? Because they think they're doing it. That's why the Lord usually tears people down to their lowest level before they'll really receive him. He takes everything away. He pulls everything apart. He takes their confidence away. He takes relationships away. He takes everything away so there's nothing but God to turn to in your weakest of moments. God doesn't want to have to do that. He will do it. So in unity with this is our ability to boast about one another in Yeshua. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I've been filled with encouragement. I overflow with joy in all our troubles. We are called to boast in one another in the good works Messiah accomplishes in each of us. For this, that is boasting in him. Let us boast upon our Lord and one another as we move from challenge to challenge and from glory to glory. Amen.